Psalm 51, verse 2 and 3 is my text tonight. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. That's my topic. Two words, my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my sin, and my sin is ever before me. To acknowledge my sin is the first letter in the alphabet of saving grace. When we learn our ABCs, A is for apple, B is for ball. When we learn the ABCs of salvation, the first letter of the alphabet of saving grace is my sin. To acknowledge my sin is the first step toward repentance. No man ever yet repented who did not acknowledge my sin. To acknowledge my sin is the first fruit of faith. Where there is no conviction of sin, there is no faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if I have any interest in my soul, any real interest in my soul, I'm not going to rest until I find the answer to two questions. The first of which is this: what are my sins? And secondly, where are my sins? If I have any interest in my soul, then I'm not going to rest until I get a scriptural answer, not an answer. Any answer won't do. I've got to find a scriptural answer to two questions. What are my sins, and where are my sins? Now, there's a time coming when these questions must be answered. There's a time coming when all other questions are going to fade into nothingness compared to these two. What are my sins, and where are my sins? Now, I want to make about five statements tonight by way of an outline, the first of which is this: I have many sins. I have many sins. And what I'm saying about myself, I'm hoping that you are receiving personally in reference to yourself. I have many sins. And I say this boldly and without the slightest hesitation that you have many sins. Everyone here is a great sinner. There is no exception. I know from the Word of God that every son and daughter of Adam is a great sinner. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. The Scripture says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Scripture says in Romans 3, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. John wrote, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if you doubt these words, and these words that I'm talking about are, every one of you are great sinners, every one of us, every son and daughter of Adam is a great sinner. If you doubt these words, I urge you tonight to honestly examine four things. Honestly examine four things. If you doubt that you're a great sinner, if you doubt that you are before God an ungodly son of Adam, I invite you to consider four things. First, examine the beginning of our race. Now turn to Romans 5. Are you a descendant of Adam? You say, well, preacher, don't be foolish now. Of course, we're all descendants of Adam. Well, let's see what the Bible says about the descendants of Adam. First of all, if we're going to determine this fact of my sin, my condition before God, my true condition before God, not what I think of myself or what others think of me, but what the Word of God says about me, I'm a great sinner. And I invite you first to examine the beginning of our race according to the Word of God. Look at Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so deadness, spiritual deadness. There's nothing worse than deadness. It stinks. It has no color. It has no warmth. It has no life. It's dead. And he said, because of Adam's fall, death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. In other words, he's saying here that you and I, because of our relationship with Adam, are dead, spiritually dead, without life, without light, without warmth, without beauty. We're dead, spiritually dead. Now, if you're a son of Adam, that's what it says about you. Now, look at Romans 5, the same chapter, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's our state. We're on whose judgment? God's judgment. The judgment of God to condemnation is come upon all men. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Sinners. If we're partakers of Adam's nature, we're partakers of Adam's fall. If we're partakers of Adam's nature, we're partakers of Adam's sin. If we're partakers of Adam's nature, we're partakers of Adam's death. If we're partakers of Adam's nature, we're partakers of Adam's condemnation. So any person to whom you speak, and I thought about this point as I was preparing the message this morning. Where would I begin if I wanted to convince someone of sin? Well, this is where I'd begin. I'd begin at the beginning. I'd begin where it all started. I'd begin where sin visited our race. I would begin where the fall took place, with Adam's disobedience. But the second thing, turn to Matthew 5. Now, if you doubt that you are a great sinner, I invite you, first of all, to examine the beginning of our race. It's your race. Adam is your father. It's your beginning. If you're a partaker of his nature, you're a partaker of his guilt. If you're a partaker of his nature, you're a partaker of his death. As in Adam, all die. Isn't that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15? In Adam, all die. Now, the second thing, if you doubt that you're a great sinner, examine the law of God as it's interpreted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read several verses here, Matthew 5. Let's begin with verse 21. Now, let's examine ourselves in the light of Christ's exhortation of the word of the law of God. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. There's the law. Whosoever shall kill shall endanger the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say in anger, malice, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and you remember you come to worship, you come to give your gift, your gifts of praise and thanksgiving, prayer, you remember your brother has aught against you, just leave your gift there. And go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, that thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. In other words, our Lord interprets the law, thou shalt not kill. Everybody is guilty of breaking this law who's not a peacemaker in every sense of the word. All right, look at the next verse, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman, and nowadays, in since you everybody's the same, you have to say, whosoever looketh on a man or a woman to lust after them hath committed adultery with them already in his heart or her heart. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. Profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from thee. Profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, it's God's footstool, nor by Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you can't make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea and yea, yet nay and nay. And whatsoever is more than this comes of evil. Any expression to which you add, or which you add to yes or no, is sin. You've heard it said by them of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if you resist not evil, anybody does any harm to you, let them go ahead and do it. Don't resist it. You say, I have my rights. No, you don't. Christian doesn't have any rights at all except to do the will of God. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. Any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, don't fight him. Let him have your cloak too. He shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow. You say somebody's always borrowing. Lend it to him. Turn him not away. And God's word says lend it without interest. This is the law of God. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God does. Now if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Publicans do the same. You salute your brother only. You speak to your brother only. You speak to the one you love only. What you do more than others, the publicans do the same thing. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, if you want to find out what kind of person you are, read that chapter right there. If I want to find out what kind of person I am, there it is right there. Our Lord said, I look not on the outward countenance, but on the heart. And we can dress up this outward countenance so that it looks so beautiful unto people and so rotten to God on the inside. Christ said of those religious people of his day, they're like whited tombstones. On the outside, they appear beautiful to men. On the inside, full of dead men's bones. God looks at the heart. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 9. I want you to look at this scripture here. My sins. What are my sins? Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. If you doubt the words that I've spoken, what great sinners we are, go back and study Adam's fall. How it affected all of us. Secondly, go here to Matthew 5 and study Christ's interpretation of the law. And then thirdly, if you dare, and if God can give you the grace to do it, examine your own heart. I want us tonight to look into our own hearts and consider how many evil things have gone through our hearts that the world knows nothing about. The evil thoughts, the sinful imaginations, the jealousy, envy, hatred, anger, temper, lust, spiteful feelings, rage, false accusations, exaggerations, false motives, foolishness, the lack of love for God, the lack of love for others, the selfishness, the inconsideration, the vengeance, all these things. We're living in a day when sin has been whittled down to a few outward deeds. And the terrible, damning, condemning evil that's destroying mankind is on the inside being totally ignored by the ministers, the churches, and the people. Bishop J.C. Ryle said this, and I want you to think about this. If you only sin, that is, by thought, word, or deed, twice every hour. Now, that's 60 minutes. You only sin twice. You only had one foolish thought, or one evil thought, or one vengeful moment, or one envious, or jealous, or lustful, or one moment. Every hour. Only happened twice every hour. You know how many times you'd sin every 10 years of your life? 100,000 sins. Every 10 years of your life, you would have, if you only sin twice an hour, but sin goes deeper than that. We are sin. Our nature's a sin. Our flesh is sin. We sin all the time. But if we only sin twice an hour, we'd have 100,000 sins every 10 years. Oh, that's the reason David said, my sins are ever before me. But the fourth thing, if you doubt that we are great sinners, examine the fall, examine the law as interpreted by Christ. Examine your own heart. Just think, since you've been in this building, how you felt toward somebody else. How you felt about your own ego. How you felt about your own appearance, or how you felt about your own desires, or how you felt about the world situation, or about God's hand in your life, or anything more, anything less than absolute submission to the will of God, sin. And then examine yourself in the light of that day of judgment, when we shall stand before the holy Christ. And we shall be examined in the light of His holiness. Oh, if we can't say my sins now, we'll say my sins then. I may hold my own in the courts of men. You may feel pretty righteous here tonight, and no reason why you shouldn't if you're judging yourself by me or by your other people or by your friends. You can hold your own in the courts of men. And I can hold my own before the rules of religion. I'd about soon have mine as theirs. I'd about soon have theirs as anybody else's. They're all worth about the same thing, nothing. I might hold my own before the standards of my day or my nation or my race or my people, but in the light of His holiness, even the seraphims veil their faces. Now, you think a little bit about that. Turn to Isaiah 6. I might hold my own in the courts of men. And I might hold my own before the rules and regulations of religion. I might hold my own before the standards of my day. But I'm not going to be judged by those things. God's going to judge me in the light of His holiness. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, heavenly beings. Each one had six wings, but with two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He did fly. And one cried to the other and said, oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory, and the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, I'm undone. Wouldn't it be better to cry that now than then? Wouldn't it be better to face up to it now than face up to it at the judgment? Hadn't you rather, by the Holy Ghost's mercy, see it now when something could be done about it than wait to see it at the judgment? I leave it to you. What are your sins? Do you see them? Do you feel them? I've learned by sad experience that not many people are aware of sin, and still fewer will acknowledge it. You can show people hell and they'll flee from it. You can show people heaven and they'll seek it. You show people their sins and they'll deny them. Barnard said they'd swear on a stack of Bibles that they're no worse off than anybody else. Nothing will ever break a proud sinner's heart. Nothing will ever convince a human being that he's a rebel but the Spirit of God Almighty. Show a man hell and he'll flee from it. Show a man heaven and he'll seek it. Show a man his sins and he'll deny them. That's what I've tried to do from these scriptures tonight. Show myself my sins and show you your sins as God's servant. Now the second point that I would present is this. It's of the utmost importance to have my sins removed and to have them put away, because someday I'm going to die. Scripture says it's appointed unto men once to die. Job said, soon I shall go the way from which I shall not return. Someday I'm going to die, and someday I'm going to be raised, and I'm going to appear before an infinite God, a God of infinite holiness, in whose sight the heavens are not clean. How much less man that drinketh iniquity like the water. I'm going to stand before God, a God of infinite knowledge. He knows every thought. Jesus needed not that any man should testify what was in man. He knew what was in man. He knows what's in us. Every thought, every imagination, every motive, every word is open unto him. Present your case to the courts of men. You're wasting your time. It's not men who shall judge you, but Christ. We want others to think well of us. Quit wasting your time. Years ago, I used to defend my doctrine and defend my message and defend myself. Forget it. Forget it. You're wasting your time. Your friends don't need a defense, and your enemies won't believe it anyhow. We're going to stand before a God of infinite knowledge. He knows us. We're going to stand before a God of infinite righteousness who said, I will in no wise clear the guilty. We're going to stand before a God of infinite wrath who shall say, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. They're not ever going to be turned loose. And Christ said, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. If you die in your sins. The third thing, we cannot cleanse our sins ourselves. Now, just as I boldly stated, we're all corrupt, defiled, condemned sinners. From the sole of our feet to the top of our heads, there's no soundness in us. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. The picture cannot be painted black enough. The evil of men's hearts cannot be exaggerated. We are great sinners. I also boldly declare that it's impossible for any person to put away his own sin. Let's read three or four verses of Scripture in reference to this. First of all, Romans chapter 3. Romans the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Listen how emphatically this is stated. Therefore, back in verse 19 of Romans 3, the last line, he says, all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Look at Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 16, listen to this. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Listen to Hebrews 10, verse 4. Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Now, it's not going to cleanse your sins to sit down and feel sorry about it. Sorrow cannot atone for sin. It's not going to cleanse your sins to straighten up your life and reform your outward life and turn over a new leaf. Reformation will not atone for sin. Not going to cleanse your sin to participate in the forms of religion or the ordinances of religion or the ceremonies of religion. Formality will not atone for sin. It will not cleanse your sins to look to a preacher or a priest or a pope. Turn to the book of Psalms. This is an important verse here. Psalm 49, verse 7. They're all important. But this one is the clincher in reference to this point. Listen to this. Verse 6 of Psalm 49. They that trust in their wealth boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. No child of Adam can make atonement for his own sins or for anybody else's sins. I want you to listen to what Job said. If I justify myself, and we're sure in that business, aren't we? My own mouth will condemn me. If I say that I'm perfect, my own mouth would prove me perverse. And then again he said, if I wash myself with snow water, and you can add to that, and with holy water, and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. Well, the disciples said to the Lord, who then can be saved? And the Lord said, with men, it is impossible. All right, here's the last point. The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. Turn to 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Christ can cleanse. What are my sins? Oh, my sins. I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before me. What am I going to do about my sins? Where are my sins? I think I can say tonight, they're under the blood of Jesus. Can you say that tonight? 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that is with his Son, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's the reason the Word of God says, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There may I, though vile as he. Can you say that? And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Why is the blood of Christ so mighty, so effectual? Let me give you several reasons. First of all, because it's the covenant blood. The blood of Christ is the blood of the covenant. The blood of Christ is the blood of the promise from all eternity. Listen to the scripture. He is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. His blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. I was in the hospital a few days ago, and there was a man in there whom I'd never met. I met him for the first time that day when I was visiting in the room. And he figured out how the thief on the cross could be saved. He said when the men came to the first thief, they break his leg. When they came to Christ, they saw he was dead already. Then they went to the next thief. How he knew which one was the one who repented, I don't know. But that was the one who repented, the last one. And he wasn't dead yet. That meant he died after Christ died. So therefore, he could be saved because he was the first one after Christ died, and therefore he died under grace and not under law. If he died for Christ, he couldn't have been saved. I don't know about you, but I am so tired of that, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired of religion. I'm so tired of fools. I'm so tired of people darkening counsel with words without knowledge. It's disgusting. Brethren, this blood of Christ is effectual because it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. When Christ died on the cross, he was simply dying and doing what had already been done in the purpose of God from before the foundation of this world. His blood always has been shed. John the Baptist died under the blood, and he died before Christ died. Abraham died under the blood, and he died before Christ died. And Abel died under the blood of Christ and was accepted in the Beloved. His blood is effectual because it's the eternal blood. It's the blood of the covenant. The blood of Christ is effectual, secondly, because it's the blood long typified and prefigured in every sacrifice and in every type. God Almighty never looked at the blood of that ram on Moriah's mountain. He was looking at the blood of Calvary. God Almighty never looked at the blood of that animal that was put on the gold mercy seat on top of the law in the Holy of Holies. That was nothing but animal blood. He saw Calvary. God Almighty, when he went through Egypt at midnight, in that night of death and wailing and darkness and judgment, he saw not the blood of a lamb. He saw the blood of his lamb. People ought to be ridden out of town on a rail that are in pulpits that can't preach any better than they do about the blood. And thirdly, the blood of Christ is mighty to cleanse, it's mighty to save, because it's covenant blood and it's typified blood, it's prefigured blood. Every type, every sacrifice. And thirdly, his blood is of infinite merit because it's the blood of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. Now, I thought a little bit about that before I wrote that down, but you look at 2 Corinthians 5. We sing the blood of Jesus. The scripture here says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. Very God of very God. So when you look at that scripture, you just say, it's the blood of God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Isaiah wrote, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. That's the power of the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. It cleanses. It purifies. It makes us as white as snow. Sins of youth and sins of age. Sins of heart and sins of hand. Sins of ignorance and sins of knowledge. Sins of secrecy and sins of open committal. Sins against the law and sins against the gospel. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Under the blood, they are made as white as snow. God said, I'll remember them no more. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and it's the blood that has cleansed all who have gone before. The disciples trusted it. Peter said, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And then yonder before the throne of God, someone said, who are these and whence came they? These are they that have come through great tribulation and washed their sins and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they sang a song unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Unto him be glory both now and forever. There's no other message. There's no other message. There's no other good news. There's no other gospel. There's nothing else to preach to a fallen generation, to a hell-bound people, but that good news. That doesn't make you happy. You're in the gall of bitterness. If that doesn't rejoice your heart, you don't have one yet. God hasn't given you a new heart. If you'd rather hear something else, then God hadn't given you a new heart. That's his message. That's the message of his dear Son. That's what Paul talked about when he said, I preach Christ and him crucified, and I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Go on. Let somebody tickle your ears, but I hope God let me bless your heart. And I know what'll bless a heart. I know what'll bless a broken heart. I know what'll bless a convicted heart. And that's this message about the blood. A man can go out of here singing, praise the Lord, my sins are under the blood. Under the blood. Our Father, honor thy word tonight. What a message. What a gospel. What good news. What glad tidings. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me this great salvation, so rich and so free. It's in Christ, in the blood. And when we consider our sins, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to look at our bare, naked sins, but we can look at the blood, and we can say the blood of Jesus Christ, thy blessed Son, hath cleansed us from all sin. In his name, amen.